At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
Indeed, 3 o'clock on the dial. Tony Glenn Jr., Chris Ello not here. A second time I've almost said Chris Ello.
You're doing a good job of catching yourself.
I'm pivoting right there. Boom. You know, you mess up, you got to pivot. Nobody knows if I snitched on myself, but it's all good. Me and Matt Scraby here with you, taking you up to 5:45 when the pregame show begins.
5:40.
Sorry, 5:40.
You're doing your best Chris Ello right now. Hey,
correct me if I'm wrong. 5:40. Well, you know, to be fair, I'm not here when it happens. So, you know,
that is true.
I'm not really paying attention to exactly when it happens. But yeah, real quick little tidbit. I shouldn't say I caught it, but I'm paying attention. I've been paying attention to it. And today an article came out at ESPN. It's the top story right now. For as much as the WNBA has advanced in its game, the referees are going to have to catch up. They are struggling immensely. I think it's leading to a lot of the conversation, especially surrounding Caitlin Clark.
Oh my goodness! Can we stop with that?
And no, I'm saying though, like they could put if they were better, they're like letting a lot of stuff. It's no holds barred wrestling at sometimes in some of these games. I watched Kelsey Plum, and she was right about being fouled. I don't know if she was right about her reaction to it, but she got to the rack and like laid one up, and she turned right to the referee and she said, "Every effing time, it's a foul!" Like right to her face. Nothing said. Just kind of moved on about the play. And I've seen this a lot. Like the players like beside themselves, like nothing's being called. And Caitlin Clark, I think she's been the one featured on a lot of it. But now you're seeing, and so the reason why I brought it up, because it was an article today, and of course, Angel Reese is blasting the referees, and it's some, you know, along the lines of this has to be fixed, but she's not the first one that I've heard kind of go in on this. Caitlin Clark has, we've kind of seen it with our own eyes, some of the things not quite being called, like that seem like obvious fouls.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a good reminder, right, that as we see, you know, you and I haven't been privileged to see like the advancement of a sport in the way that we've seen.
That's true.
The WNBA, like you and I came of age, like NBA was kind of already doing its thing. Baseball in the 90s was kind of already doing its thing. NFL was already doing its thing. But I think when you ask your parents, our parents, they would tell you, like, the officiating is way better now than it used to be. Like, we can tell you that about the umpiring, right, baseball-wise. Like, we watched Eric Gregg, and I use him, rest his soul, because he was the one that we remember most in that playoff game, Marlins Braves.
The pitches are like
this far outside. My screen can't even keep my fingers in the screen because that's how wide the pitches were.
I can't believe that actually happened.
And that was the 90s. And so we fast forward to now, 30 years later, we're in a way better spot. We still complain about the umpires all the time, even though they're way, way better than they ever been. Here's a league that you and I have watched it like get better in terms of the skill, the women, but the referees have not quite caught up to that.
I wonder
and
why.
It's a weird thing, right? I mean, like we've watched, and it seems like that's always the case. The refs or the officials are the thing that come along after the advancement of the game, right? Like they had a hard time calling, you know, Shaquille O'Neal and those guys but it evolved and they figured it out. We're like in mid time of watching referees for this particular league have to make the same advancement that the players have made in some ways.
Yeah, I guess like the referees are kind of put in a tough place because they don't really know what the WNBA is looking for, as in, do they let them play through things? Do they call everything?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of part of the making of the league in some ways, right? Like, you know, we joke about it oftentimes, but the NBA, they made a switch from it being a completely defensive league to a much more offensive league. But they've had iterations of it. I don't know that the WNBA has had that. These women are so skilled now.
Yes.
I just think it's sometimes it's hard for these referees to call it. I mean, just think. There's probably as many as good athletes there are that play in the NBA. There's a certain amount of spots for, like, the best versions of that. Are the WNBA getting the best versions of their referees right now?
I wonder where the referees are coming from. Is it, like, elevated college referees? Or
I don't know. I don't know. But we got to get to our daily gap. We're 6 minutes into the segment right now.
No, it's an interesting conversation.
Let's change lanes and get into some gambling.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I looked for news on the Guardians pitcher over the weekend. I think his name was Luis Ortiz, who was put on paid leave, and no
the
news
one you're,
yet.
The one you're accusing of cheating, of gambling?
I don't think that I accused him of it. I said it was fishy. It was very fishy.
Is that what you said? Okay.
Yeah, but they're definitely gonna never mind. I'm not gonna bring up Shohei in this conversation. We're just gonna keep going on to our bets. And the first one, Yu Darvish is back, so we have a choice. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure bet. And how many strikeouts do you think Yu Darvish will have today, Tony? 3+, 4+, 5+, or 6+? And 3 is -400, and then 6+ is +340. So, in order to make money on the 3+ strikeouts, you would have to bet 400 to make 100.
What if I don't want to do any of these?
You can. What is it called? What does Chris call it? A non-wager or something?
I'm a non-wager on this one, right?
You're gonna non-wager.
There's too many variables. We don't know how long he's gonna go today. Like, we don't know what this pitch count's gonna be.
I read that it's going to be like around 70.
If he has 70 against this squad, I guess give me +5.
Okay.
Or the 5Ks.
Yeah.
The 5Ks.
All right. +145. You know, I would assume that Yu Darvish is only back because he knows he could pitch to Yu Darvish standards.
For sure.
So I'm going to say he surprises everyone, and he goes 6+ strikeouts. There we go. Now, Tony, who do you think out of the two starters tonight has the most strikeouts thrown in the game, Yu Darvish or Zach Gallen? Zach Gallen is the favorite in this bet. Yu Darvish +125.
Yeah, again, like, I'm going to go no wager, man, because you don't know how long Darvish is going to go.
I mean, Zach Gallen has a 5.45 ERA this year. He has not
Padres
been...
Padres don't strike out a lot in general, but let's say he uses up his 70 pitches in, like, 4 innings. Like, I don't... You know what? I'm just going to... I'm going to play today. I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to say Darvish.
Darvish. I'm looking at Zach Gallen's strikeouts. The last start he had on July 1st, he struck out 10, but... In the previous 4 starts past that 10, he only had 2, 5, 6, and 5. So I'm going to go Darvish as well. I don't know why I'm feeling so... If we're happy that Darvish is here...
I'm happy.
Can
I'm
you imagine
Darvish,
that the reaction in the clubhouse? All right, who's going to have more hits tonight? By the way, Luis Arraez is now leading the team in batting average. So he has worked his way back.
Suckers that have been trying to write him off or trade him. You know who you are if you're listening.
Oh, you definitely know who you are.
I know you know who I'm talking about, too, if you're listening.
Trying to think of someone to say right now, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it was not us. I can tell you that. We were not
someone
the ones
works,
trying to get...
Someone who works in our building, for sure.
Was it Chris?
No.
Oh,
doesn't matter. Just
okay. Who's going to have more hits in the game? Ketel Marte or Luis Arraez?
Oh, Luis. He's on a heater right now.
He is on a heater. I'm going to say Luis as well. We're going with the same stuff except for the strikeouts. This is not working out for us. Finally, the Phillies and the Giants tonight. Landon Roop for the Giants. Christopher Sanchez for the Phils. And the Phillies are in San Francisco, and they also have a -1.5 spread on the run line. So do you think the Giants win this game or at least keep it close?
Nope.
You
Sanchez is nasty.
We're pretty much going to bet all the way around. I didn't ever really watch Christopher Sanchez this year before he pitched against the Padres. Dude was incredible.
That didn't look like a fun day for a left-handed hitter. I watched that whole game, and I was thinking to myself, gosh, this is stressful. Watch it as, and I'm just broadcasting it. It was stressful.
Yeah, well,
he's throwing like 97 sinkers, and then he's throwing a changeup like same way, same movement, but like 10 mile per hour slower. And then when he threw a slider, he was like dotting it on like the black or like just off. And
yeah,
it's like, no, I got time to be. Then you got to pick a side. I explained it the conundrum it causes. When we were probably about the sixth inning of that game, because at that point he had just established like two-way, just on corner. And then so when you get one like literally right down the middle, you can't like possibly be ready for it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all. Just like,
no.
Okay, I hope
he's not
he
throwing
throws
enough
in this
middle
corner.
Balls for you to be like, you know what, I'm just going to wait for something in the middle. Like you could literally go two at-bats and never see one in the middle of the plate.
All right, that's it for the Daily Gambit. I'm trying to stay on time. When we get back. Tony's doing the hand signals. Tony and I, we'll talk about the All-Star game and the selections and all of the reserves and the snubs and all of that ahead on 97.
Well, man, wrap it up. I got to use the bathroom, man.
I was like, what is he doing? All right, in that case, I'm going to talk very slow, and we'll be back with the All-Star talk on the other side. Back here at the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan. I'm in the Odyssey Palace, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. And Tony, we have our all-star teams, and they have been announced. There are actually lots of pretty big-name snubs. We'll go through those in a little bit. But how important is the all-star selection to these guys these days? Because I think a lot of them, Tony, would think it would be much nicer if I could go on vacation for the next 4 days before I have to go back to my team and play some more baseball. I mean, an all-star selection's great, but do they actually want to be there?
I think so. Saw Toddy's comments. He was prepared to go off and enjoy himself some peace and serenity. And instead, he canceled that bad boy because it is an honor to go to the all-star game. And especially for a guy like him, grew up watching it and kind of in the same way I did. It means a whole lot to be selected. While looking at the look of Jason Adam when he finds out and just kind of
his first
seeing him experienced in the whole thing. I think these guys definitely care. A guy like Clayton Kershaw who gets in on the Legends pick. My dad went in on that type of pick his last season. You cherish those moments. It's still a big deal to these guys.
Oh, that's really good. I didn't make fun of Clayton Kershaw for going in on the Legends pick, knowing that your dad was a Legends pick as well.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear how Jason Adam found out he was going to the All-Star game?
I did not.
He was in church with his family, and Mike Schilt kept calling him, and his wife, Cam's wife, kept looking at the phone like, oh, no, we've been traded. We're going somewhere else. And Jason Adam was like, oh, no. I may have been traded. I don't know that he actually said that, but his wife definitely thought they were traded. And so he goes outside and he takes a phone call because he's like, this is pretty important. And then Mike Schilt told him he was an all-star. And so he went back into church and had a much better service after wasn't traded. So I thought that was fun.
Given all that he has been through in his career, you can't blame the guy more importantly, you can't blame his wife for thinking that he might have be getting traded when the phone is going off in church. I mean,
Go ahead.
He's been through a whole lot, and I think that's kind of a if you've been through anything like he has, he and his family has, that's a normal kind of response to a phone ringing in church at a time that it doesn't normally ring.
Sunday
from
morning,
a guy, right? That normally isn't calling you. So it's and repeatedly on top of that, and so. But kudos to those guys. For you guys who may not know, the starters on the National League side, Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, Ketel Marte, Manny Machado, Francisco Lindor, Ronald Acuna Jr., Pete Crow Armstrong, Kyle Tucker, and Shohei Ohtani. On the pitching side, the guys who found out yesterday will be Jason Adam, Matthew Boyd of the Cubs, Edwin Diaz, Mackenzie Gore makes his first appearance. We went over Clayton Kershaw, Freddie Peralta, Robbie Ray, Randy Rodriguez from the Giants. He makes his first appearance. Paul Skeens, Logan Webb, Zach Wheeler, and Yamamoto makes his first appearance on the pitching side. Reserves, Hunter Goodman. That's the one rocky selection that gets in.
He's been good this year.
He has been good. I mean, he hasn't been a lot good with Colorado. He's been certainly one of them. Pete Alonso, Ellie De La Cruz, Brendan Donovan makes his first appearance. Matt Olson, Eugenio Suarez are the reserves in the infield. In the outfield, Corbin Carroll, Kyle Stowers of the Miami Marlins, Fernando Tatis Jr., and James Wood, who makes his first, along with Stowers, on the National League side. I won't get into the American League side just yet. We can get into some of those snubs, though, that you're talking about.
Yes.
On the National League side there, sir.
Yes. Of course, these are not my opinion. It's an article that was put out by our guy, Matt Snyder. So, you know, we're being led in the right direction. And we talked to Matt Snyder a little bit earlier, so we know this is a good list. The first snub for the NL, he put down Seiya Suzuki from the Cubs. He has 21 doubles, 3 triples, 24 homers, and a 145 OPS plus. So yeah. The DHs went to Shohei Ohtani and Kyle Schwarber, which it's hard to argue that he would make it over them. The other National League, after seeing this guy last week, Christopher Sanchez was a snub, according to Matt Snyder. He's 7-2 this year, 2.68 ERA, 108 strikeouts. His 3.8 WAR is already more than he posted last year, so that's another snub. Michael Busch of the Cubs, it says basically that he had a late surge that probably cost him a spot, so we don't really need to spend too much time on that one.
You know what may have cost Sanchez is the legendary pick.
What is that?
The legend pick? We just
won. Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
That may have been the spot that ends up could have been Sanchez.
Well, now I'm mad at Clayton Kershaw for taking Christopher Sanchez's spot because, of course.
Legend. Sometimes you got to deal with it.
Trey Turner from the Phillies. He entered Sunday hitting .301, 121 OPS plus, 22 stolen bases. So they're saying that he could have been snubbed.
Now, are we going to do this for real? Like, the biggest oversight.
I'm getting to it. This is the next name on the list.
I didn't know if we were playing the game of we're not going to mention him or what we were doing.
Oh, it's actually not a snub. It was expected.
I forget Chris is. I got Chris was here for a sec. But go ahead. Yeah.
The name that Tony wants me to say is Juan Soto New York Mets. He was also snubbed. And I have a couple questions. Now, the fan vote is what gets you to be a starter. But
Correct. Then
you're voted in by players and coaches after that? Is that
Correct.
What happened? So what happened here? Is this like a popularity contest vote?
Now, to be fair, his normal numbers, you know, he's hitting .271 this year. He's still got a gang of home runs. I mean, he's got 21. He's got 51 RBIs. I guess you could make an argument that, you know, this isn't Juan Soto at his best at this point, but he had to climb some ways to get to these numbers that he's at. I still think it's a snub, but, you know, There might be some envy around the league. There could be, man.
That's really funny to me.
These managers got to deal with them every time, too. I mean, it's human nature a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised.
They
were feeling some type of way, like, oh, man, forget this guy, man. We
face him all the time. I'm over
too
him.
Busy thrusting in our face all the time. Get him out of here.
He's the third in majors in on-base percentage. He's slugging over 500. He's already got 10 steals, too. I don't know how he did not make this All-Star
game. You know what's
game.
Funny is it, I don't – I can't – the only reason why you wouldn't like Juan Soto is because of the way he plays. Because there's really nothing else out there for you, honestly. He's not in trouble. He's not, you know – shows he like seems to really like his job.
Yeah, he's never in trouble.
So I don't know. Just my thought. I digress.
It is very, very strange that he did not make the team. But when they asked him after the game for his thoughts on not making the team, he said, "I got to play better." So he's taking accountability for it.
Somebody's gonna be mad if he said that too. Yeah, what a jerk! He said he's got to play better.
I don't know what else he can say. What if he said, oh, yeah, this is a huge snub. I'm going to be, you know, on a tear for the rest of the season.
I'm so glad he didn't say that because it would have just been more
me too.
For me to have to defend.
Some others that were snubbed, but you could see them being snubbed. Andy Pahes of the Dodgers. He's been pretty good.
He's had a good season, man. I can see. That's a young guy. Hang with him, snub. You know
293 this year, 15 doubles, 17 homers.
That's definitely worthy.
It is 192 OPS
17
plus.
Homers. Yeah, dog. That's good stuff.
Christian Yelich. He has 17 homers, 61 RBIs, and 13 stolen bases this year. He was another snub. And then,
the outfield's tough this year. You know, they have Stowers, Fernando. You know, if Fernando doesn't have the insane end of March, all of April that start, we're not having the same conversation.
Now, last snub, we talked about it briefly. Nick Pivetta, I think, got snubbed from the pitching staff. And that could be another Clayton Kershaw casualty of getting the Legends pick. He is 9-2 this year, 3.25 ERA, 1.04 WHIP, and 107 strikeouts in 97 innings. So, I have a feeling he might be one of the first to be called up and become an All-Star if some of these guys drop out. But huge snub in my eyes, Tony.
Yeah, Nick was definitely worthy of having a shot at getting there. He's been our best pitcher all season long. There's just a lot of really good pitchers out there. You know, that's what made Jason Adams so impressive. I mean, it's all starters.
There's three relievers.
And a closer. And closers. The only reliever, like non-closer, is Jason Adams.
Yeah. What do you think about Jason Adams making it over Robert Suarez?
Have you seen the numbers?
I have. Robert Suarez has like 25 saves this year.
I mean, saves are just saves. I mean... You know, that's not as much. Adam's numbers, I think, are superior.
Yes.
Taking out saves because he doesn't get an opportunity to do that to Roberts.
All right. I can't argue with it. I can't argue with it.
No.
Suarez is going to have a nice 4 days off, which I think he
will
enjoy.
He's going to really enjoy that, too.
He's going to. Do you know anything about Robert Suarez off the field? Like, does he enjoy finger painting? Does he like?
Nope.
What does he like to do?
I think he likes it that way.
He's very quiet.
Just fade to black.
He's
going to enjoy his vacation, and boom, he's going to pop up on Friday, and we're going to be in Washington ready to play baseball.
And he'll be closing games for the San Diego Padres for the rest
bada
of the
big,
season.
Bada
boom. All right, that's it for the All-Star snub talk. When we get back, we got some more. Gwen and Chris Fun on 97.3 The Fan. Another reason you should be watching on YouTube is you get to see me do a little dances when we go back into the show with our music. I'm not a good dancer. I'm actually maybe the worst dancer of all time. I'm Matt Scraby. This is Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello on vacation. Tony Gwynn Jr. about to rejoin me for Padres Pen Pals, which we had some pretty happy pen pals this week, except for one guy. He was not so happy with us, and I will share that in just a little bit. But there is some housekeeping I should mention real quick before we get into Padres pen pals. They have reinstated Yu Darvish from the 60-day IL. They have transferred Michael King to the 60-day IL, which is not a big deal. I'll get to Michael King and some news and development in just a second. And the Padres have optioned Kyle Hart to AAA El Paso. One thing Tony and I didn't talk about was how good Kyle Hart was yesterday. I believe 11. He sat down 11 batters out of 11 possible batters. That was pretty good stuff. Kyle Hart, like, I like a good story like Kyle Hart. He's part of that crew, the Lost Boys. And there was like five guys in 2020 that made their major league debut in that COVID season, and they never got to pitch in front of fans. And the only guy from that group that got to pitch in front of fans later on was Kyle Hart. All the other guys just never made it back to the big league. So that's a pretty big deal, I think. Pretty big deal. So good on Kyle Hart. I think we're going to see him back up for the second half of the season. He could be a really, really valuable bullpen piece. I don't think he's starter value for the second half of the season, but if they can get him to come out of the bullpen like that, long relief, whatever they need, that would be good stuff. Now, Michael King, we just talked about him being transferred to the 60-day IL. It's like a clerical thing. It's not it's not bad news. It's not setback news or anything like that. Jeff Sanders tweeted earlier today, about 30 minutes ago, Michael King played catch today. He will get out to 120 feet tomorrow. On Thursday, he will throw off a mound for the first time. The team, he said, is not calling that an official bullpen, more of a touch and feel, but is clear momentum forward now that his nerve is firing. I like to hear all of that. And Michael King now, it was a joke I made earlier with someone. Michael King now needs to get a he really needs to get an endorsement for a bed company, because I think it's just a perfect thing for him. He comes back. Imagine it. He comes back. He just lights out throughout the rest of the year. And he says, it's all because of my new bed. And that would, I mean, it's perfect. I don't understand how you can't get a bed company endorsement after that. So Michael King is looking better, coming back slower than we wanted, but he is making his way back nonetheless. And Yu Darvish is going to start tonight for the Padres. So he has made his way all the way back. I was, when I heard it was going to be bullpen day on Sunday, I was like, oh man. Mike Schilt kind of teased that Yu Darvish may be ready to pitch on Sunday. But then I saw that he was starting Monday. So it really took the bad feels out of my sails. And I ended up, being happy about that, because they need Yu Darvish. They need him. It's not even a question. It's a statement that they need him, and it could be a pretty good morale boost for everyone out there, or everyone out there as in fans, and also everybody on the team as well, because Yu Darvish can do some great things. All right, we will get into Padres pen pals in just a second, but I wanted to tell you about this. At some point during the show, not right now, during the show, you will have a chance to win two tickets to the Padres-Diamondbacks game this Wednesday. The first 40,000 fans are going to receive a free Padres City Connect straw hat. First 40,000 fans, a free Padres City Connect straw hat. Get tickets at padres.com/tickets. Now, the way you win, not right now, I'm going to play this so everybody knows, and it's not right now, so don't call. How many times can I say that? This is what you're listening for. As soon as you hear this from now until the end of the show, give us a call, 833-288-0973. First caller will win those tickets. But here is what you are listening for.
And now Fernando, 2-for-2 with two homers at the plate. This pitch swung on, hit in the air, straightaway center field. Smith going back, running out of room. It's going to go! Another one!
That was Fernando against the Diamondbacks 2021 when he hit three home runs in his first three at-bats. I thought maybe he's going to hit four, maybe he's going to hit five, but he didn't. He ended up with three in that game. So that is the sound clip that you are listening for from now until the end of the show. If you hear that sound clip at any time, then you need to give us a call. First caller will win the tickets to the game on Wednesday. So keep a listen out for that. All right. When we get back, we're not going anywhere, because we're going to go ahead to traffic, tell you what's going on the roads, and then another edition of Padres Pen Pals.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins...
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, what a difference a week makes. I have more positive Padre Pen Pals questions today than I do negative. Although, I do have someone who is very angry with us for how we've been treating the quote-unquote doomers in the last couple weeks. So I can't wait to share that with everybody because it's hilarious. It's going to be a little bit different today because Chris is not here, so we won't have any of his astute opinions. But we'll start with Fernando Tatis Jr. Actually, we'll start with this. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. All right, first one. Fernando's All-Star selection has created a huge debate in my group text chat. There are a few Dodger fans in there since I went to college up in L.A., and they think Fernando is being selected for the All-Star team because it's a quote-unquote brand-name vote. I wouldn't admit this, but they did make some good points. They texted that if you take out the biggest year of his career, Fernando has hit .277 with an .860 OPS. All five seasons but 2021 seem to be very similar numbers. So they were saying maybe this is just who he is and the Padres overpaid, which I thought was hilarious when the Dodgers have Glasnow and Snell making $11 billion and have not really pitched it all this year. So Tony, up first. Is this who Fernando actually is?
Yeah, maybe. Not a bad player at all, by the way. I think this is kind of the... It's part of the consequence of getting, suspended, right? Is that people can form these opinions. And they don't even have to be true. It just they are out there, and it's a thought. And so, first of all, if they were arguing about the All-Star selection, I don't see how him being who he is outside of 2021 really is relevant to the conversation.
It's a Dodgers logic.
Yeah, crazy logic. Nonetheless, I think the jury's still out on that. Honestly, it's too. He has, although he is, 6 years in to this bad boy?
Yes.
He's only played in, 3.5 seasons.
That's true.
Fully.
Yeah.
This is, so far, let me find some wood, the healthiest he's been throughout from at least the start of the season to this point. And so, if he can put together a full season, whatever that looks like, 150, 155, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, you can start to kind of then put together some ideas. It would really be one of the first full seasons he's completed. And so I think the jury's still out, to answer your question.
Okay, yeah, I think the jury's still out. But if he is a .277 guy with an .860 OPS, I'll take that. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's not
that's
bad
really
at
good.
All.
Yeah.
In this day and age, .277 is high, I guess, if you're talking about a batting average. An .860 OPS has got some slug in there. He's going to be hitting home runs, doubles, all that. If this is
I think it's more contingent on health than it is anything
else. Yeah, because, like you said, I'm going to start bringing an actual block of wood to work so that I can start knocking on a block of wood. Because I keep knocking on this Formica, and it's just not working.
That's a real deal.
Yeah, I did think it was funny that this person said that the Dodgers fans don't really care that Blake Snell and Glasnow haven't pitched yet this year to a level of earning their money. And I'm like,
it's delusional.
It's a delusional Dodgers fan. What are you doing over there? What are you doing? All right, next one. I keep hoping for the Padres offense to get it going and have been watching a few things closely. One part of their game that's changed lately is Padres hitters walking. In the last 2 weeks, they have drawn the fourth most walks as a team, but ranked 28th in baseball in runs scored over the same period. Is this the sign of the offense starting to find balance, even if lots of runs aren't being scored? I've been paying attention to a lot of what Mike Schilt has been saying recently, and his He says he keeps using the word stingy. They need to be stingier. They need to have tougher at bats. They need to make the pitcher work a little bit more, and that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, they're walking a lot. They had 9 walks last week. They had 5 yesterday, I believe. So they're getting on base. They're just not able to get those hits with runners in scoring position. I thought Xander had a grand slam yesterday. I was ready to cheer, but they're just not getting those hits. However, getting on base is half the battle, and if they keep getting on base, it will break through at some point. I actually heard you and Jesse talking about the offense yesterday, and you guys were both saying it's hard to say this, but it feels like it's about to break back out to the offense we saw earlier in the year. So, Tony, is this the sign of the offense starting to find balance, even if lots of runs aren't being scored?
You hope so. I think I've always been a big proponent of creating the opportunities are more important, because it just eventually you're able to knock some in. And yesterday was a much better, or last night's game was a much better example of that. And I just think part of what makes you think that it could be, you know, starting to trend in the right direction is the at-bats. You're seeing much longer at-bats, and it's not from like two or three guys. It was really everybody being able to do it. And I think that is what made them so successful at the end of March and all through April, was that they did that pretty consistently. And I think now, seeing them kind of put that together, we'll get a 4-game stretch of it here. There's no off day, so, you know, you'd be able to kind of lock that type of approach in, because you're just going to be playing games all week. I think we'll be paying close attention to it moving forward.
All right. This is why people can't freak out during a baseball season. It's very long. There's many different... Tony just gave me the ugh. All right, next one. I noticed something about the series over the weekend about how the Rangers handled the Padres lineup twice. On Friday in the bottom of the 9th with the game tied 2-2 and 2 outs, the Rangers intentionally walked Fernando to get to Jackson Merrill. It put 2 guys on and a righty-lefty pitching matchup. Then last night with the game 3-1 in the bottom of the 6th, the Rangers intentionally walked Fernando to get to Jackson Merrill for the left-on-left matchup. So, Tony, is this intentionally walking a Fernando matchup base, or does this tell you how feared he is as a hitter?
I think it doesn't. I think it says a little bit of everything and not just those two things. I think in one case it had nothing to do with matchup. It had the matchup that they were hunting was Merrill. That's what they were going to. And Toddy has swung the bat better, but I think it has more with that Jackson hasn't swung the bat well as to why they are hunting that matchup. Whether it was left on left or right on left, they hunted it twice because that's the matchup they identified, that if we're picking between those two, that's where we're going with. And I think that's probably more indicative of how Jackson has swung the bat versus Fernando.
I was excited to hear your answer, because I figured you were going to say it's more about Jackson than it is Fernando, but I wanted to also ask you, were you ever was someone ever intentionally walked in front of you to get to you?
Of course.
How did that make you feel? Like, doesn't it make you kind of feel like, what? They did that? You know,
it doesn't make me feel like what. It just made me want to get a hit.
Okay.
Like, make them look bad. That's what it made me want to do.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jackson did not make them look bad, but hey. Again, there's going to be plenty of time in this season, but I guess when you're picking your poison, you pick the guy who's swinging the bat worse than the guy who's swinging the bat slightly better. And so you pick Jackson over Fernando, or you picked Fernando over Jackson.
I mean, I think it was, if in the building, it was obvious what they were going to do before it happened. Like, Jackson is he's got something going on right now in terms of his mechanics, and they see that. And so it's not even, I mean, Toddy swung the bat well yesterday, but I don't know that it was avoiding, it was probably as much of hunting that matchup, as I said, versus Toddy.
All right. Final one, and it's going to be a mad fan. This one's funny. You call me a doomer, I call me a realist. You call me stupid, I call you stupid. I would much rather be on the side of the concerned fan, because then I don't look like a low IQ baseball fan when they prove to be exactly what they are, a 500 team. I've had enough of your show, and I've had enough of you trying to paint a rosy picture when the outlook is dark. This longtime listener is now done listening to your show. I can't handle the false truths and the constant defending of an underperforming team. At least I will be able to sleep at night knowing I'm not a sellout. I mean, I'm up first. There's no real question here, but these are sometimes the messages that I get, because people think, you know, I take it as a compliment. They're listening and they think we're talking to them. And so I think that's a good thing. But you can't be so angry about us trying to talk about a team that's struggling and then has periods of time when they're winning. It's not an easy thing to... You have to stay balanced, especially with this team. So I think it's funny when he says, "You call me stupid? I call you stupid." It's like, what are we, five? It's it. Doomers always end up going back to like the 5-year-old thing. Yeah, like the point and laugh type of thing. So good thing you'll be able to sleep at night. I mean, if you don't want to listen to our show, fine. That's okay with me. It's not for everyone, but I know you will be, because I told you we're going to bring this up. So, haha, I got you to listen. Tony, anything to add about this one?
I hope he doesn't listen no more. I really do. And by the way, if you turn out to be right, you will just have gotten lucky. That is all it is. That your IQ is not any higher than it is right now.
Yeah. Do you want to be
IQ.
Right?
Baseball
Doomer,
IQ.
Doomer or realist or whatever you want to call
sounds
yourself.
Sounds like the realist wants to be right. And so
it boggles my mind how so many people are like, well, they got lucky in that win. Let's see what happens in game 140. Like, okay.
Yes. Go watch that. Tell whoever my man is. Tell him, go watch the Angels. Check out the Angels.
Or you want to watch
the Dodger fan. There you go. There you can have it your way.
Or, if you want to be a bad team fan, go to be a Cleveland Guardians fan. They've lost 10 in a row. You could be in that juncture of the season.
The moral of the story is there's 29 other teams if you don't really want to be on the fan side.
I'm sorry to you, Mr. Doomer. That's what we got for you. That's Padres Pen Pals. When we get back, I'm going to be trying to play a game by myself. We're going to see how this goes, and we'll be giving out a prize on 97.3 The Fan.